Hey, how are we? Are we tired? Sleepy?
Yeah.
Did you sleep at all last night?
No.
You're pretty energetic for not having slept. Hey, give me this. Where did y'all just come from? Yell out some of them. Okay, hold on. Y'all be quiet. Where'd y'all just come from? Mental illness. Good. Graham. Pro-life. I bet that was good. What? Somebody just said one back there. Okay, you're shy. We're going here. Great questions. That's good. Where else? Caitlin Jenner is a man. That's good. That's good. Well, hey, I think it's fun. You know, I don't get to spend a ton of time with you guys throughout the year. I'll come in periodically and speak at Wake or something. But my role really on staff is to help people get connected into the church. And so as Cassie said, my name is Joey Tisdale. I get to be in community with Cassie and her husband. And so I've gotten to know them really well. And that's a ton of fun to get to do life with God's people. And so that's where my passion comes from, is I've watched God change my life through community. And now I help others as they get into the church. And so for you guys, I'm encouraged that you're in here. You know, I wish you would have come to the first session, but I'll take your sloppy seconds and that's okay. I'm just kidding. Y'all are good. I love that y'all went to those others. All those are my friends that you went and saw. I'm reining you back in. Come here. But for real, I think it's fun that you would choose to come to a breakout like this. And we really didn't choose a ton of light topics to discuss today, did we? We chose some heavy things. And so for us, like Cassie said, we still believe God frees us from addiction. And so I bet there's some different groups of people that are in here today. Some of you were curious. You saw addiction and you were like, man, I wonder what they're talking about. Like, what is it? Drugs, alcohol? Is it sex? Like, what are they going to talk about in that room? And then another one is just, you may be ignorant. And ignorant isn't bad. It's just the lack of knowledge that you go, I don't really know anything about addiction, so I'm going to go and learn. I'm going to go see what this person that I don't know has to say about addiction. And then there's another camp that you're in denial. You're like, man, I'm not addicted to anything. I'm good. I drink Dr. Pepper all day, but I am not addicted. It's like, well, you are addicted. All 23 flavors of addicted. And so the last one is just desperate. And I would say this is where I was, thankfully, later down the road. But you're neck deep in some addiction or some slave that you are just tired of being in. You're sick and tired of being sick. And you're like, hey, if I can just go learn how to get out of what I'm in, it would be a blessing. And I'm encouraged by you guys. You're in here. You're listening to, man, what does it look like to be free from addiction? And there's some people, sadly, that maybe your friends or other people that are in your small groups, they go, I'm not addicted to anything. I don't need to be in there. That's where all the freaks go to the addiction breakout. And it's like, no. We're following Jesus, and we just want to learn what it looks like to continue to fight for our freedom. We want to know, hey, how do I continue to walk in this life of freedom and not be enticed to go back to my old ways? And so I'm encouraged by y'all. I wish some of those people that refused to come in here would have come with you. Because all we're going to do is encourage each other. We're going to talk about what it looks like to have life and to have freedom and to be free indeed. It is. Be excited. It's like, hey, I woke up today. That means I have the opportunity to be free. I have to make a choice, though. I can either walk in freedom or walk back to the things I used to be enslaved to. So let me pray for us, and we're going to jump right in, okay? God, thanks for today. Thank you for freedom, that your son came to free us from the sin and the bondage that we formerly walked in, and now we get to be here today walking in your marvelous light, that you've taken us out of darkness, pulled us into your marvelous light, that we would proclaim your excellencies. And so I pray for this time that we'd have fun and be encouraged. Yes, it's heavy, but it's also so freeing to know that your son died so that we could have life. And so bless this time. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to answer four questions today, okay? Just four questions, and we're going to hit the ground running. What is addiction? We're going to define it in a second. How do we get there? How do we become addicted? Thirdly, what are our common addictions? What are they? What are things that we are addicted to? And then how do we fight for freedom? Okay, that last one is where we're going to really spend a ton of time. It's just, What does it look like to fight for freedom, okay? And today, in this day and age, I think addiction is just tossed around. It's like, oh man, you eat Sour Patch Kids every day, you're addicted, or you've eaten so many sweet potatoes, or you drink Dr. Pepper all day every day, or you play Fortnite all day every day, and it's like, you're addicted. And it's like, but what does that mean? What does addiction mean? And it's just tossed around like we're playing catch, and it's like, has it lost its true meaning? Has it lost the weight and gravity that the word addiction used to hold? And I think the answer is yes. And so not to bore us, but the word addiction comes from this Latin word. It's attico. I went to school in Mississippi. Don't do well with foreign words. I'm good enough in English, okay? Attico just means that we are given over too slavishly to something. And so what does that mean? I'm overly enslaved. That there's something that has taken me over that I'm enslaved to. And so that's the root of the word. And so how do we define the word? Well, the world has a lot to say about addiction. One of them being that it's a brain disease. That you are born with a disease that you're addicted to something. I think in Christendom, being just the church that we as believers should automatically run headlong against that, saying, no, it's not a disease. It's something I'm enslaved to. Because when they say it's a disease, it gives us an opportunity to get out. We're opted out free, pass go. Oh, no, you're not addicted. You just have a disease. It's like, wait, I was born with the disease of pornography? That doesn't make any sense. I think it's just we're enslaved to things. And this is the best definition I found. It just says it's an unhealthy action that is repeated over and over again despite its negative consequences. That could be anything. Yes, it says action there, but that could be item. That could be thought. That could be person. It could be anything that we run to over and over again despite it negatively influencing our life. Or the consequences are negative, and yet we don't care. We're going right back. So in your mind, you're probably thinking, what is he talking about? Am I addicted right now? What am I addicted to? What could I be addicted to? And so do this. Watch this video, and we'll pick up right after that.
My name is Josh. I'm 27. I live in Worcester, Ohio, and I'm addicted to eating glass.
My name is Margaret, and I'm 53 years old. I live in Morning View, Kentucky, and I'm addicted to stinging myself with bees.
My name is Jennifer, and I'm addicted to eating mattresses.
My name is Evelyn. I'm 27 years old. I live in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and I'm addicted to drinking air freshener. I love air freshener.
My name is Heather. I'm 43, mom of two beautiful children, and I'm addicted to drinking paint.
My name's Teresa. I'm 44 years old. I live in Bedford, Virginia.
Pretty day today.
And I'm addicted to eating rocks. I don't think I would be able to function every day if I didn't eat some quantity of rock.
How many of you seen that before? Y'all are in the deep, dark hole. I spent so much time watching these this week. And to be clear, that makes my stomach hurt. Literally, a physical sickness when I watch those videos. I don't know if you heard what that last lady said, Teresa, the rock lady. She goes, hey, I don't think I could go a day without eating some quantity of rocks. A day? First of all, I could go a lifetime without putting a rock in my mouth, okay? I don't need to swallow a rock to know that I shouldn't do that, right? God didn't say, eat of the rocks and be fruitful and multiply. No. No. He said, I provided animals and vegetation. Those are edible, all right? And so for us, we're going, what? Glass? If you watch the whole video, when you've done whatever else you're supposed to do that week, that guy, Josh, who's like the skinnier version of Wolverine, he told us how he got there. He was like, well, one time I had a light bulb and it was shattered, and so I just kind of tasted it. And it was like, what? Who told you? Yeah, when glass is shattered, just take a little nibble and you'll become addicted to it, right? But we think, hey, that's ludicrous, that's absurd. But the reality is that's how we all start. It's something small that we're like, oh, I'll just dabble in it. And then we are full-blown, full-fledged eating light bulbs out of the restaurants. And it's like, hey, you came here for food, not to take our light bulbs out of the ceiling, okay? And so for us, we believe, like Teresa said, there's something I genuinely believe I need to live every day. We believe that. It's in our hearts, it's in our minds, that there's something that we can't live without. And so for me, I would say biblically, when we look at addictions, it's just that we're enslaved and overcome by something. And that's 2 Peter 2:19. It just says, while promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. And so the passage, the context in 2 Peter 2, they're just talking about false teachers. That these false teachers have believed in a false gospel. They believe something that's not true. And then they've become enslaved to it. They're corrupted by it. And what are they doing? They're telling as many people as they can about it so that they would join them. And so what is the last part it says? It says, by that they've been overcome by that corruption. And by that, they are enslaved. That's insanity, that you believe something that's not true and give your life to it. That your life is built on falsehood and you're enslaved by it. So when I think addiction, I think enslaved. Biblically, we're enslaved to something. And it's because we've been separated from God. We've been separated from the Creator who in the garden, we had everything we need, right? But by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we were cast out, and now we have a longing and a void that we feel like we need to fill. And so some of you are probably saying, hey, I'm not addicted. I really don't have anything to keep me from Christ. I have a healthy relationship with the things of the world. And for that, I would hope that's true. But then there's some of you in the room going, hey, no, you don't understand. You don't know the pain I've been through. You don't know the hurt I've experienced. My dad left when I was 10. You don't know what it looks like to see my mom cheat on my dad. You don't know what it looks like to be made fun of every single day. I'm just trying to feel something. I'm trying to numb the pain, whether it's drugs or pornography or affirmation in dating relationships. I just need to feel. But I get it. I sat where you're sitting. But sadly, I had no idea I was stuck. You see, I came to know the Lord at 9. In that same year, I was introduced to pornography. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think Satan saw, hey, there's somebody else who gave their life to the Lord. Let me run to them and try and destroy their life. And he was successful. For 14 years, my life was marked by enslavement to pornography. I wish I had a D-town. I wish I had small group leaders. I wish I had men and women looking at me and going, hey, if you like what you're doing, keep doing it. But if you keep doing what you're doing, you're not going to like what you get. We say that often around here because we see that we are enslaved to something. By the grace of God, it's been 7 years since I've seen or sought out pornography. Happily married, I've got a three-week-old son. He's a G and a half, and I love him. And those are two examples of common grace, that I have a wife who I don't deserve and a son that I don't deserve. God allows me to have those things when I don't deserve them. But I had men, finally, at the age of 21, I had come to this realization, oh, this is bad for me. I had somebody look at me and go, hey, stop looking at porn. You're going to ruin your marriage. And then it took 2 years to really find freedom to walk away from it. So I get it. I get it. If you're stuck, I get it. If you're not stuck and you're like, hey, I ain't tempted to anything. Be careful and be watchful and be sober-minded, because the devil would love nothing more than to wreck us. He would love it. But if we focus on Christ and the redemption he has for us and the freedom he's already spelled out for us, then we can continue to walk in freedom instead of walking in that slavery. I promise. So the second question I want to answer is just, how do we become addicted? We're born into a broken world. We already have a predisposition to it. But it's like that void that's there, that longing that's there, we're already born into it. Not born into addiction, but we're predisposed to it. You see, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they had one thing they weren't supposed to do. and leave it up to us. Idiots. We ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And so what happens? God casts them. He says, hey, you're no longer in the garden. You had one thing you weren't supposed to do, and you couldn't restrain yourself. And so what happens? We're separated. There's a void that's automatically inside of us that we long for something. What happens? We pursue to fill it. You ever heard that dumb saying, everybody's got a God-shaped hole in their heart? Y'all heard that before? You know what I'm talking about? That's dumb. Get rid of that, okay? There's no little tiny hole in your heart that God is supposed to fill. God is to consume our lives. It has nothing to do with this little tiny heart. It has everything to do with, if I surrender, he consumes me in the best way possible, that we are satisfied, that we are fulfilled in him and only him. Every time. Look at this. Viktor Frankl, he was a Holocaust survivor. He happened to be an incredible neurologist and psychiatrist, and he had this to say. He was walking through things about addiction and illness, and it just says, it is when individuals fail to find meaning in their lives that they turn to the dogged pursuit of pleasure or power in the false belief that doing so will fill the void that an absence of meaning has left in them. That in and of itself is like, there's addiction. We're born separated from God. And so what happens? We have no meaning. So what do? We pursue pleasure and power. We go after the things that we think in a false belief will fulfill us. But the reality is that only God satisfies and only God will ever satisfy. And it's not a God-shaped hole. It's that he would consume your life when we surrender and place our trust completely in him. How beautiful of a picture is that? That we were born with a void and with a longing. And God goes, hey, if you'll just do one thing, if you'll just confess that you need me and place your trust in me, you will be filled. That's Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You'll be satisfied. You'll be filled. But yet we chase the world and think that it's going to help us. James 1 really spells this out for us. It tells us exactly how we get addicted. It just says it's our desires. That we have these desires, we see something, we're like, oh man, what is that? And then we develop this longing in us to entertain it. We're like, oh man, I should entertain that. That seems fun. It's like this little tiny dainty morsel. So we have desires, we entertain them. And so what happens? You spend enough time looking at something or thinking about something, you develop an appetite for it. What happens when you develop an appetite? You're hungry, right? Then you eat. You eat, so you go and get it. And what happens is we become trapped. We've eaten this desire that has become sin inside of us, and we go into this cycle. It's desires, entertain, appetite, trap, desire, entertain, appetite, trap, and then we become helpless. And I can insert another word, hopeless. That when I place my trust in the things of the world, I am hopeless. Because that's not where hope is found. You see, sin and addiction, it leads us to death. It leads us right to destruction. But when we trust the promises of God that they are true and that he's good and that he fulfills, we find life. But every time we pursue the things of this world, we're going to end up dead. I promise you. For 14 years of my life, I was dead. And what's crazy is during those 14 years, I couldn't figure out why my relationship with the Lord wasn't growing. I'm sure some of y'all are going, hey, buddy, I don't know if you know, but for 14 years, you were looking at porn. It's like, yeah, I was blind to it. I was blind to the fact that I was enslaved to something in the world, and I was addicted so much so I was enthralled with it that I couldn't allow myself to give my life fully to Christ. I proclaimed, hey, he is the Savior, and he is my Savior, but I don't know that I want to give my life completely to him. And so for us today, I think we really need to identify some of this stuff. We need to identify what's going on in our lives. Because really, I think I made this little list that we long for things. We long for comfort, for relief, for meaning, for purpose, for value, for affirmation, for satisfaction. We long to have those things in our life based off of things that we've experienced. And so let's play a game. I want you to raise your hand if you agree with me, and I want you to keep it down if you don't, okay? I'm just going to give a list of things, and if you think it's an addiction, raise your hand, okay? Does everybody understand how to play? If you agree, you should be raising your hand right now. Okay, there we go. We're now clicked in and engaged, all right? Fortnite. Okay. Oh, dang, bold. Okay, Call of Duty. I can't see any of you. Okay, Dr. Pepper, root beer, caffeine. Okay. Ooh, you like all 23 flavors of that addiction. Sour Patch Kids. Food in general, just food. Yeah, there we go. How about sugar? Sugar? Hey, you'd be amazed at what it would look like for you to get rid of sugar for 2 weeks and see what your body does. Let's be honest. iPhone. Good, you're honest. Good. Hold on real quick. I'll lock this thing. All right, what about body image, working out, tanning? Yeah, I heard some strong yeses. Shopping. Yeah. Hey, what about this one? This one's interesting. Listen to this. What about drama? You just are involved in the center of drama always. You're addicted to it. You love it. Drama? Yeah? No, no, not performing. Like, you're in the middle of all of it. What about comfort? Comfort? You just love the luxury. You need the comfort. Hey, think about this one. This one's a little tougher. The approval of man. You need affirmation from others. And you can't live without the affirmation that comes from others. That's good. Comparison. You compare yourself to people every single day. I'm in that camp. I'm for sure there. What about this? Dating. Like, you have to have somebody you're dating. Okay, be honest. It's okay. It's okay. That's good. That's good. Love, like for me, I had daddy issues, and so love was a thing that I was like, hey, if somebody tells me they love me, I'm like, I love you too, okay? Don't betray me, all right? Sex, pornography, drugs, cocaine, heroin, K2, weed, spice, all of it, right? Doesn't it seem obvious, the drugs? It's like, oh, of course that's an addiction, right? But some of the early things like Sour Patch Kids or Dr. Pepper or root beer, you're like, well, I mean, maybe if I'm like, I have an unhealthy relationship with it. Well, the definition is just an unhealthy habit or action that's repeated over and over again, despite its negative consequences. Hey, if you don't think that you will suffer negative consequences from something like Dr. Pepper or root beer or sugar or your iPhone, use that and only that and see what happens. I promise you. In this day and age with iPhones and smartphones, what happens is we're no longer using our brains and exercising our brains in a way that helps us stay sharp. Think about it. Each time you just scroll up on Instagram, what are you doing? Nothing. Are you making your wrist strong or your thumb? That doesn't do jack for you, does it? Okay? And so, that is true. So really, We have to understand that these things, like that lady who was eating rocks, they are slowly killing us. Each time she puts a rock into her mouth, it goes through her intestines and it causes damage. Every time. The paint, the glass, all of it. Again, I don't endorse any of those things, so don't go home and tell your parents that at D-Town they said we could try these things out. Not it. Don't eat your mattress, okay? It will kill you. It will kill you. I know we laugh about it and we make light of it, but those people genuinely believe they need it. In the same way that we think, hey, I need Fortnite. I got to play tonight. It's like, no, you don't. God allowed that to be created, but not to be something that rules your life, okay? And so for us today, I want to be very clear. This is something that we have to fight head on. We have to fight our addictions head on. Do you know where that list of things that I just gave you came from? Our staff. I sent out an email this week just asking different people, hey, what were you addicted to? How'd you get there? How'd you find freedom? And that was what I got back. Those are all the addictions that our staff at this church were formerly addicted to. And I say formerly on purpose because they are no longer enslaved to those things. That through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, they have found freedom and redemption in him and him alone. You see, the world tries to tell us that we find freedom in those things. But it comes with a price. But for them and myself, walking away from pornography, walking away from the body image stuff, walking away from the drama, walking away from comfort, walking away from sugar, we are finding freedom. But the world wants to sell you and say that you won't find freedom outside of those things. But we do. I promise we do. And so today, acknowledge you're broken, and we're going to talk about how to fight for freedom with four things. 4 points and only four. I would love for you to write these down. Flee and confess. That's 1 point. Run to God. Eliminate access and embrace freedom. Those four things, that will help us fight for freedom in a way that some of us really haven't. I know for 14 years, I wasn't fighting for freedom. I liked what I had, and I just kept running in it. Okay? So flee and confess. This immediately makes me think about, how do I evade danger? How do I get away from danger? So for me, growing up, we used to go camping often, my dad and I love the outdoors. Dallas, we are just a concrete jungle. You got Clyde Warren Park and nothing else, okay? That's not even a park. It's an overpass with grass on it, okay? And so for us, we have nowhere to be in nature. But I would go into the mountains in Georgia and Colorado and North Carolina. And so what I went to was a campground. And so you always find animals in nature. Always find animals in nature. And so that's why I love animals today, because growing up, I was surrounded by them. Not like, what's his name, Dr. Doolittle, but I loved animals. And so for us, when we would go camping, my dad was a little safety Sam. And he was like, hey, we stay away from the animals. And I was like, but Dad, I love the animals, okay? Like, how do we stay away and also entertain? And so what he said was, hey, I'm keeping you and your best interest in mind. And so for us, each time that there were animals, he's like, hey, squirrels, chase them all day. Grab the ducks. Do whatever you want to. They bite back, though, be warned. But for things like bears and snakes, he was like, hey, we don't get near those things. They will destroy you. And specifically, grizzly bears, those are things we don't jack with grizzly bears. I'm telling you, those things are powerful. They're aggressive. They're territorial. Don't find one with their cubs. You will not live to see the next day. I promise you. These things are so powerful. Keep this in mind. We've all been bowling. Those bowling balls are heavy. They're hard. They hurt when they hit your ankles. When you put a bowling ball in a grizzly bear's mouth, it will shatter it. Literally shatter it. That's how powerful their jaws are. And so you're going, hey, what does this have to do with sin and fleeing and confessing? Well, imagine this. Let me paint this picture. You're out in Colorado. You're like, man, I'm gonna climb this 14er today. Me and my friends, we had a couple that stayed back because, you know, they're just wimps and we're not worried about them. We're gonna make it to the top. You get about an hour into your hike, and 300 yards in front of you, there's a bear. What do you do? Run, yes! You don't go towards the bear. The bear is dangerous. I don't go towards the bear. I run the other direction. Probably maybe take a couple steps slowly backwards. And then when you realize, hey, I'm good, I mean sprint. Hightail it to the bottom. So what happens? We have just fleed danger, right? We saw the bear. We realize it is dumb to continue. And now I'm going back. And so we get back. Our friends that are at the house that were like, hey, I'm not going, now they're affirming their decision. Like, told you idiots, you shouldn't have gone. There's a bear. And so you're back and you're going, hey, I got to tell you this story. And you're probably going to embellish it a little bit. Like, the bear was chasing us and we were climbing the trees and it was crazy. And then we realized we shouldn't climb trees because bears can climb trees too. But the reality is you ran and then you confessed. You told everybody what happened. You were like, hey, we didn't make it to the top. Why? Because there was a bear. I had to stay away from danger. And so how does this relate to our sin and how do we flee and confess? Because in the same way that if I'm addicted to pornography, if I encounter it and I flee, I don't flee for a little while and then an hour later go back. In the same way that if I see a bear, I don't go to the bottom of the mountain and then wait an hour and go back and make sure he's gone. No. I stay down there. Why? Because I want to live. I don't want to be eaten, okay? It would be stupid for me to go toe-to-toe with a bear, which is like 9 feet tall on its hind legs, me look at it and go, you won't eat me. False. That bear will eat you whole. He will tear you to shreds and have a delectable little meal on our tiny little bodies, okay? That's morbid, and so is sin. I'm telling you, we have to take this seriously. Look at Proverbs 28:13. It says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. The two are inseparable. That we must flee and we must confess. If I flee and don't confess, what's going to happen? No accountability. I'm going right back. If I confess but don't flee, what happens? I'm trapped. I'm always there. Hey, I looked at porn this week. Okay, did you run from it? No. Okay, so you're going to go back and look next week. No, I won't. Yes, you will. 14 years. They are inseparable. We must confess and we must flee. Always. Look at James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. God doesn't command us to confess our sins so that we can air them out at, like, dirty laundry on 75 and 635. He doesn't care that everybody knows how bad of a sinner you are. He cares about your freedom. And so in this verse, when you look at James 5:16, it says, confess, why? So that you can pray for one another. Why? That you would be healed. It doesn't matter what the sin is. It just matters that we get it out. He says freedom is found in confession. Then pray for one another, all while continuing to flee. And so these addictions that we have, we're like, oh, I can just play with it and keep it over here and I can run back. But if we'll flee it and confess it, it's in our closet. We're held accountable and then we walk towards freedom. I've heard it put this way, that there's no freer man than a man who has no secrets. That's Proverbs 28:1, that it says, the guilty flee when no one is pursuing. What does that mean? It's like, for me, when I was addicted to pornography, I'd walk into a room like this and I'd automatically think, everybody knows I'm a freak. Like, everybody knows I look at porn. Like, what do I do? And I probably wouldn't stay in here. I'd leave. I would be gone because whoever was teaching at that moment, I'd be like, oh, he's talking to me. I'm so insecure. I don't know what to do. But the next part of that verse, it says, the guilty flee when no one's pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as lions. How do we become righteous? Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. When he was raised on the third day, we were raised to walk in a new life with him in freedom. End of story. And so for us, we have to confess. And I'm telling you, there's no easier day to confess than right now. I firmly believe that. You wait till tomorrow, going to be harder. Wait till next week, going to be harder. Next month, next year, it's going to get harder. You want freedom? Talk about it today. You got small groups here right now. You got leaders. You can trust these people with that information. I'm telling you. There were three things that were common across the board of the people that emailed me. First one, they were stuck. Why? Because they had no accountability. They were in isolation. That's Proverbs 18:1, that he who isolates himself quarrels against all sound wisdom. That means he likes his cake and wants to eat it too. He stays there. Second thing, confession to both God and his people is what started their journey towards freedom. They got it out, and then it was like, okay, that was the first step. That wasn't so bad. I remember the first time I ever confessed pornography to one of my best friends. I was terrified, literally terrified. But his response was amazing. He goes, bro, thanks for letting me know. It ends today. And I was like, wait, you're not mad at me? He's like, no, I'm not mad at you. God loves you. Be free. Confess what's going on in your hearts and your minds and the things we're enslaved to. And then lastly, everybody said, hey, I had to spend time with God in his word and allow his word to inform me and my heart of what was true. And so that's our second point. It's just run to God. That we flee and confess and then we run to God. Spend time with him. When we abide with the Lord, John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me as I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We just abide with the Lord. For me, I have a 3-week-old son and he is the man. If you know anything about new babies, they do three things and only three things, okay? They eat, they sleep, and they poop. And there's a whole lot of that poop. Literally, we were leaving the house at 11:45 earlier, and it was one of those days. I mean, it was a massive blowout. I mean, just everywhere. I mean, it was on the front of him. It was on the back of him. It was on his outfit. It was all over the place. And bless his heart, he's like, I don't know what to do. I can't just hold it. I'm 3 weeks old, okay? But for him, he knows if I start to scream, somebody will come. I can't really recognize these people yet. My eyes aren't fully developed to where I can recognize who's taking care of me. But somebody comes when I cry. And so Faden, he knows. If I am in pain, I cry. Somebody comes to help me. If I'm hungry, I cry. Somebody feeds me. Mom feeds you. Only mom. If he has a massive blowout, what happens? I cry and I'm taken care of. as Faden grows older, as my son grows older, he will recognize, he will build this cognitive ability to understand, if I'm with mom and dad, I'm good. I'm taken care of. I'm protected. I'm provided for. I am safe. They will clean me up. And they will judge me not when I just poop everywhere. In the same way, when we flee and confess, we run to God. Why? Because we know that God has everything that we need. We know that he satisfies. We know that he protects. That's Exodus 15:3. It just says, the Lord is a warrior and the Lord is his name. That in God's presence, we are both free and protected. That God looks at us and he goes, I care about you. I care enough to send my son that you would have life. And then after that, I will protect you. I promise. But what we have to do is trust that those promises are good. Look at Galatians 5:16. It says, but I tell you, or I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and what? You will not carry out the desires of your flesh. You will not. This is a command. God says, hey, if you walk by my Spirit, you won't do the stupid things you used to do. Walk in the freedom I've given you. You are a new creation. Go and be that creation. But I think in our little peanut minds, we've thought, man, if I just spend, you know, Monday morning with the Lord, I'll make it to next Monday. I'll be good. Hey, how many of you have seen somebody eat one time and make it a full week? None of us. None of us have seen that. You will die if you don't eat. You don't drink water, you will die. It's proven. In the same way, if we're not spending time with the Lord and walking to the Lord and sitting in his presence, we will not be satisfied, but yet we will walk right back to death like we explained earlier. Our desires overtake us. We entertain the stupid little thoughts and we run headlong into death. That is addiction, that we have filled something in our hearts that doesn't belong there. It doesn't, but yet we think it works. Look at Romans 8:5-6. It says, for those who are according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Think about it. The author, he's just saying, hey, if you'll just think of the things of God, where will you go? To God. You will long for God. You will want to be with him. But if you think of the things of death, where am I going? Right to death. Proven over and over again. Think about it. He says, if you set your mind on the things of the flesh, what? It's death. You're dead. But if it's the things of the Spirit, it's life and peace. Life is found in the Lord and only the Lord. You see, the extent to which we pursue God and we love God and we know God and we sit with God is the extent to which we will overcome these addictions. I don't think it's a reap and sow mentality, but I think if I'm saturated and consumed by the Lord, my longing for the world disappears. Why? Because I've tasted and seen the things that are good of God. He is enough. I love what my buddy said. We're similar addicts. He was a pornography addict for a handful of years. And he just said this. He goes, hey, when I stopped trying to stop sinning and when I pursued the Lord, is when freedom started. You know what that means? When I stop white knuckling through this life, trying to get rid of my sin, and I trust the Lord with what's going on in my life, I will be free. I'm sure you've heard that saying of like, man, you just gotta give your sin to the Lord. And it's like, what does that even mean? How do I like give it to him? Like put it in a box, send it, like what's the address? It's like, we don't know. But I do know that when I sit with the Lord and I sit in his presence and I see how good he really is, then it's like, oh, I'm going to walk away from this sin and I'm going to sit with the Lord and be satisfied. That's how we get healthy. That's how we get clean. That's how we walk in redemption. But we think for some dumb reason that we can read our Bible or spend time with the Lord once in a week and not walk right back into death. That's insanity. Literally insanity. And let me be clear. I'm not telling us that we have to work to be free from our addictions. You see, Jesus has done the work. He has paid it in full. He has taken care of our sin. He's taken care of our addiction. He just says, believe, confess, and surrender, and you're free. There's nothing that we hold on to, but rather it's we've given it all up so that we could have everything. You see that biblically, that what does it profit a man if he loses his soul but gains the world? Jesus says, if you'll just surrender your soul to me, you will have everything you need. That's how we're free from addictions. You see, Jesus has done the work, but he gives us a part in it, that we would sit with him, and that also that we would battle our sin. And that's the third point, that just we would eliminate access. Take it out of the picture. How many of y'all like sandwiches? I think we had Potbelly today, right? Is that Potbelly? How many of y'all just love sandwiches? They're easy to make. You're good. So a few of you like carbs. How many people are hot sandwich people? You know what I'm talking about? Like they put it through the toaster. You're like, oh yeah, it's about to go down. How many of you are cold sandwich people? Y'all like bologna, don't you? That's gross. You eat Spam, see? You kind of self-conscious. Now, when I think about sandwiches, I think of a few places. Potbelly, Quiznos, Eatsies does it the best, I'm sorry. Subway, do we have Blimpy in Dallas? Firehouse? Oh, don't get the Italian, you're looking at 1,300 calories right there, buddy. When you think about Subway, I think about one thing, and you should know this about Subway. If you like Subway, you smell like Subway. I'm telling you, you smell like Subway. You go into Subway, you eat there, and you leave, I guarantee you everybody in your office or school knows you smell like Subway. It's true. It just happens. You can't go in Subway. You can't wear a trash bag. You can't wear cologne. You can't wear perfume. You can't do anything to combat it. You will smell like Subway when you leave. End of story. I had a teammate in college. We used to eat at Subway all the time. $5 footlongs, 99 cent, 3 cookies, and a drink for what? $8, I think? I think we kind of got ripped off on the drink. But reality is we used to go there all the time. And my buddy was like, hey, I don't know if I can do this anymore, man. Everybody stinks when they leave this place. And I don't know if I can put up with it. So what did he do? He stopped going. He said, I'm done with the stench. The Subway stench will rule me no more. Right? He's like, oh, freedom, okay? I'm going to Eatsies. Plus, I got more samples than you can imagine. The reality is we have to treat our sin and our temptation and our addictions the same way. If I don't want to smell like Subway, I don't go to Subway. If I don't want to be enslaved to the pornography and the body image and the affirmation of man, the fear of man, the things that so quickly enslave me, what do? I eliminate access to those things. I sit with the Lord and say, God, you're enough. End of story. That's Romans 13, 14. It just says, but put Jesus as Lord, the Christ in your hearts. Put him on as your Savior. And then what? Make no provision for the flesh in its lust. That we wouldn't run to those things. You see, what this really means is, hey, I can't continue to give myself a pathway to the things that kill me. I can't continue to think, oh, Lord, I'm just going to go to this bar, but if you'll strengthen me, I'll do ministry. It's like, that's stupid if I'm trying to stop drinking. Stupid. I just don't understand. I was in this entirely wrong, motive-filled ministry for probably 5 or 6 years that, oh, Lord, I'll overcome it. And it's like, hey, if you're trying to stop smoking weed, if your buddy's the one who gives it to you, what do you do? Find new friends. Find new friends. Stop going to where you get the sin. We have to eliminate access. Matthew 5 says it this way, and this is where it's like, man, this is tough. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Then he goes on, it says, if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it's better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. What does this look like? It's just taking practical and tangible action steps that we can be free. For me, it was removing social media and the internet from my phone and my iPad, that I would not be enslaved to those things. I just had to cut off the access. There's two stories in my life that I've been deeply encouraged by men that stick out far above the rest. One is a buddy I used to be in a small group with that we were down by the lake one day and he said, hey, I'm done. Like, I'm so done. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so here's what's happening. Takes out his iPhone and right into the lake. And I was like, oh my gosh. Should we call your mom? Like, what's going on? But then another buddy, he goes, hey, we're going outside. And I was like, well, where are we going? He goes, outdoors. And I said, okay, I love outdoors, but just as long as there's no bears. And he said, hey, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And he pulls out an axe, and I'm like, one, where did you get that axe? Like, I don't feel safe anymore. And he takes his iPhone and puts it on the ground and just slams it. He says, I'm sick of it. I'm done. Because if you have my phone, I know I still have access, so I'm giving no one the ability to have this. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what it looks like to attack sin and addictions head on. For me, I'm like, man, where do I still need to do that in my life? What is it that consumes me that I need to put it to death with an axe? Is it a mirror? Is it that I can't walk past a mirror every day without looking in it? Then I got to get rid of it. Is it weed? Is it drugs? Is it the alcohol? I got to get rid of it. I've got to get rid of the things that are only going to lead me back into the world and away from God. That's the thing, is that I think we look at our little pet sin and it's like, okay, I'll just put it in the closet. And if, you know, if I'm feeling lonely one day, I'll go get it. Or if I'm feeling numb one day, I'll go get it. Or if I feel like I need to numb something, I'll go get it. And instead of just getting rid of it altogether, we keep it as this little pet. And what we realize is we're growing up this little tiny lizard who's going to be a fire-breathing dragon that's going to kill us and destroy us. We just have to eliminate access altogether. If we're addicted to porn, get rid of the phone. If you're addicted to Fortnite, get rid of the Xbox. And if you're like, hey, I can't get rid of it, my mom spent a lot of money on it, it's like, hey, lock it down. Like, just do something with it that will prevent you from running headlong into sin and temptation. There's tangible ways that we can do this. This is the scary one. It's like, hey, if you're addicted to dating because you need the affirmation. For me, my dad, he was not present at all. He tried to leave when I was 11. And so I was like, hey, I need affirmation somewhere. And so for 14 years of pornography, I felt, quote unquote, affirmed. But for us, it may be dating today. And if you're going, hey, I've got daddy issues, and so I need the affirmation of some 15-year-old punk, I'm telling you, stop dating. I was one of those 15-year-olds enslaved to porn. We can't lead you right now because we can't lead ourselves. That's the reality, is that we don't know how to lead ourselves, therefore we can't lead you, and then we're going to end up doing stupid things. I'm telling you, it's dumb. If we'll just remove access, it will go well with us. But, you know, we have to be willing to do it. We have to be willing to remove access in order to embrace freedom. And so that's the last point today, that we would just embrace freedom. You see, on December 6th of 1865, one of the most amazing announcements was ever made. And some of you probably know where I'm going, that the 13th Amendment was passed by Congress. It was ratified and made official that all slavery was done. That would change the course of history for the United States. That these slaves who had been slaves their whole life were set free. That for 300 plus years, all they knew was shackles. Them, their parents, their grandparents, their friends, their extended family. All they knew was, I'm in shackles and I'm only allowed to go a certain distance from this house. And I have to do what my master says, when he says to do it, and how long he says to do it, and how to do it. And it doesn't matter what I think about it, I have to do it. But on December 6th, Congress says, no more. If you are a slave, you are now deemed free. I love what the notes say. It says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof that party shall have been duly convicted, those things will not exist anymore in the United States. This is an amazing announcement, but what we do is we are astounded at this instead of going, but Christ has already done that. Christ has already set me free, and I'm more astounded that on December 6th of 1865 that Congress let Americans go free instead of going, hey, God freed all of his people 2,000 years ago. That we've been set free, that we would be free indeed. You see, look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. And behold, the new things have come. God came to set the prisoners free, the captives free, the slaves free. He said, hey, you once were a slave, but behold, that is gone. And now you are a free man or a free woman. And you get to run. Run as far as you can with no one pursuing you. Be free. Eat what you want. Do the activities that you were created to do as God's children. Have fun. Enjoy life. You are meant to be one who enjoys life. But we have to embrace it. We have to. He looks at us and goes, hey, you're addicted to porn? Awesome. You were set free. Go and sin no more. He says to the girl, hey, you struggle with body image? I've made you beautiful. Go and be free. You are now in my image. He says to the drug addict, he says, hey, I know you're living for the high and the buzz, but look, I will satisfy you forever. Go and be free. He wants us to live in freedom, but we have to embrace it. He says, hey, video game guy, you're creating false reality and a false persona online so that you feel like you have purpose. You have been set free, and I've given you all the purpose you will need in life. That's where our meaning comes from. It comes from Christ. That even though we aren't in the garden anymore, God sent his son so that we could have life and have meaning and have purpose. What a beautiful picture that is, that God goes, hey, I know you're going to rebel against me, but I'm going to save you and give you purpose and call you my own. Think about this. Luke 7, Jesus has just healed the centurion's servant. And it's insane. That Jesus is he's performing all these miracles. And it's like, what is going on? In the countryside, in the hillside, this guy is saving people. He's healing people. He's redeeming people. And so a couple of John's disciples go and they're like, hey, John, I think there's somebody here. Like, I think the guy is here. And so what John says is, well, go and find out. Go see. And John's disciples come to Christ and they say, hey, are you the expected one? Like, are you the guy that's been prophesied? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus responds this way, and it's incredible. He says, go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. It says that the lame walk, that the lepers are cleansed, and that the deaf hear and the dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. When Jesus enters into our life, he changes everything. Oh, you're blind? Let me let you see God's creation. Oh, you're deaf? Let me heal you so that you can hear the beautiful, unadulterated voice of God. You can't walk? Go and run. Be healed that you may run as Christ has called you to run. You're a leper and nobody wants to be around you? Let me cleanse you that you will be loved. This is who Jesus is. He infiltrates our lives and consumes us. It's not a God-sized hole. It's that God has created us to be his. Not an addiction, not something we run back to because we think it fills a void. But that longing is just that we would be satisfied in him. See, the world tries to sell us that freedom comes. It comes through pornography, drugs, body image, whatever, affirmation from men or from women. But all that comes with a price. That, oh, I looked at pornography, but I got to go back. Drugs, when they wear off, I got to go back. The drunkenness, it wears off. I'm no longer numb. I got to go back. The video games, the affirmation, the approval of man, it all wears off and we have to go back. But Jesus says, hey, through my death and my resurrection, the work is complete. No one needs anything else except to surrender to me. The drama's gone. The comfort's gone. The satisfaction is found in me and me alone. And he says, it's done and it's paid for. If you will just confess and surrender and trust in me, that it's done. And so for us today, we have to understand, hey, our belief affects our behavior. You say what you think, right? But you will do what you believe. It would be insane of me to go, God is enough, but tonight I'm looking at porn. It would be insane to go, God has created me beautiful, but to stare in the mirror and to starve myself. It would be insane to go, God satisfies me, but I just need to get another hit. That's insanity. But we as God's people get to run in freedom because he's taken care of us. And so today, if we're going to fight for freedom, we do these four things. We flee and confess. We run to God. We sit with him. We eliminate access and we embrace that freedom, knowing that God has created us as his children to be his own. And so I'm going to pray for us, and I think Cass is coming up in just a second. So God, thanks for today and the fact that you give us freedom, that our life is not marked by slavery or bondage or just this jacked up worldview that something in this world would satisfy when in reality it's you. And so I just pray for our hearts today that, Lord, that we would see and know how good you are, that we would know that you satisfy and we would know that there's only life in you and that we run it run after this world. And so, Lord, crush our addictions, crush the things that we're enslaved to, crush the things that we believe are better than you, and bring our hearts near to you that we'd be intimately acquainted with you. Lord, we love you and are grateful for you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.